14. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless.
Once again, good morning and happy Sabbath to everyone. Come in the presence of our God. We also had the refreshing light of the Word of God to guide our lives, to help us to know for surety the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk about doctrine today and see that there. So let's just have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we pray and thank thee that we are in your presence this Sabbath day, that we truly may be your spokesman, and that for the sure word that we may preach of the surety of our Lord's return. Guide us, O Father, in thy word, so that we may have that fire burning within us, the burning desire to represent our Lord, the burning desire to give this message to the world so that our Lord may come. And that is our calling, to preach the word to the world, and then our Lord will come in all of his glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, doctrine, the doctrine of God's word. What does God expect of his children after experiencing the added light and blessing that he gives to all of us, to the world? We know that doctrine is fundamental beliefs of the church. We know that we have 28 fundamental beliefs ourselves. And other churches, other denominations have their beliefs too, that they are not always the same. We recognize our duty as citizens to our country to do the best for our country. We know that there's a controversy going on right now, whether to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance or not. But that's politics and other things, and whether we're politically correct or not, but we don't have to worry about that as God's children. We also recognize that we have a leader who is leading us on in a spiritual conflict, and it is ongoing. We've been commissioned to obey the word of God, that he may come again and receive us unto himself and give that message to the world. So we do it. And as we look at doctrine, we always know that doctrine always decides duty, what duty that we have. It matters a great deal what man believes. And as we study the doctrine of God's word, we are there to see what God expects of us as his children, as that added light and blessing has been given to each and every one of us. We know that doctrine and the plan of teaching always precedes the line of duty. And we all have a duty to perform, to do that we've been told to in our message, in the Word of God. Doctrine is intended to inspire us, to give us impulse, to give us force to obey all the commandments of God. We pray that we do that. We know that the doctrine of God, the doctrine of the church, is the foundation designed by God, not by man. And it's truly laid, and it's a duty for each of us to build upon that foundation that God has set. If we would turn to the sixth chapter of Romans, Paul is talking here. Paul uses a comparison of the two ideas to express the purpose of doctrine. Romans 6 and verse 17. God be thanked that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Paul is saying something here that probably could be correctly translated as a die, a mold, or a cast capable of producing a likeness, a figure, an image. And that is, we are to reflect the image of Jesus Christ in our lives and to the world. Doctrine is intended to imprint a spiritual subscription upon our minds and upon the service that God wants of each and every one of us as servants of God. It authenticates his message given in his written word, and it puts a divine seal upon the ministry that he has given to each and every one of us. And I pray that we will see that. It says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 1 Timothy 4:16. When we speak of this doctrine, we are not speaking of doctrines. It's always referred to in the New Testament as doctrine. This doctrine is to carry us on. While we know that the doctrines of men, doctrines that are devised by men, it is in contrast to the doctrine of God, all that carries us on, and all that man's doctrine carries us on, and is gone just like chaff is gone. The wind blows the chaff away. And the doctrines of men are like chaff. See that? Oh, the glory of the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, that should be burned within our hearts and our minds. It's all that we can look at and know to see that tearing. And we have that service that we are need to have to be accurate and acceptable to God, to give firmness to our word, to his word, soundness to it, to our obedience, that people are able to see, to have that die that we can cast upon each other and help us. And if you would turn to 2 Timothy 4:1, 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Here we have a statement of the doctrine. We're charged before God in the light of the doctrine, and a duty is stated there. And we see the duty in verse 2. And it can be all summed up in three words. Preach the word. We need to know the doctrine, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, his period, so that we can have that deep yearning for it, that deep yearning to give that message to others, to preach the word, so that all may hear the word. And as I said before, that's our duty, to preach the word. The Holy Spirit will do the rest, will do the convicting. And once the whole world is here's the word, then our Lord Jesus Christ will come. If you would turn to the second epistle of Peter again, second epistle of Peter, chapter 3, in verses 13 and 14, we can see a similar sequence there. Wherefore, beloved, and beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent. Oh, that's 14, I'm sorry. Went up there. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then verse 14 is a statement of the doctrine and our duty that we have. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, for diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Yes, our God to look at us without spot and blameless. if we wear the robe of righteousness, to have that white robe upon our shoulders, to see that. The busiest people today in the kingdom of God are the ones that are diligently can be found to have this peace in that spot, to be able to preach the gospel of God, of his grace, in the intimate return that is coming. There are many people that don't believe in that, don't believe that Christ is coming again. There is a delay, and I will talk about that shortly. But then there's his appearing and the sequences that are going to happen after his appearing. Chapter 22 of Revelation, the last chapter, the last book in the Bible, chapter 22. Inspiration that it gives us to be there. Has a threefold message to us coming from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. It confirms his promise. Verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. We see the doctrine there again. And then we see, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Is a statement of our duty that we have to Jesus Christ, to our God. We have to make sure that there's no dimming of the hope that we have. No fading of the desire for his coming, for he is surely coming. It has to be burned in our hearts and our minds. We need to tighten that band between us and Christ in order that we may be more fully bound with the cords of the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ, that loving sacrifice of the divine purpose of God. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth. Hold fast that thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And then if you look at verse 12, also there, repeats the prophecy of his coming, coupled with the promise of a reward for his servants, for you and I. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. There's the work of the servant of Christ for us, is to be undertaken in the light of our Lord's coming, which is soon, which is intimate, which will be personal. Then again in verse 20, here's another statement from his lips. Surely I come quickly. All that desire to have our Lord coming, we surely have to have it. If we are sure that he's coming back, and if we love his appearing, even so come Lord Jesus. We pray that, we should be praying that every day. We see in this last chapter of Scripture, the light of his coming, and we are instructed to keep, to do, and to pray. Even so, come Lord Jesus. We pray and hope that that's on our lips at all times. Does the prophecy of the Lord's return energize us for evangelism? For we need to know what this blessed hope is intended to accomplish in our lives and in the lives of others in the world. And we only can find that in the Word of God. So we have to be reading the Word of God daily. We have to be absorbing it, taking it into our minds so that we may know it. And then when the time comes, the Holy Spirit will give us the words that we need to speak if we come upon somebody that is wanting to hear the Word, to help people in time of need so that we can have the words, that surety of our Lord's coming. We go to the 24th chapter of Matthew. 24th chapter of Matthew. In verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. And 45 and 46. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, who his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Yes, we've been receiving that meat, that the Lord is coming, and he expects that when he does come, he expects us to find us dispensing that meat to the community, to our loved ones, to the world. We are intended to be the channel of God's blessing to the world, not only to ourselves, but to the world. The man that is engaged in serving that meat to his master's household and is watching for his master's return. When the master does return, the man is joyous. He's happy and glad. Blessed means joyous. Are we going to be lifted to the height of joy when our Lord returns? When we will be with him for eternity? Is he going to find us faithful in service, in patient and watchfulness? We know that God himself is the joy of man. Christ himself is the joy of the believer. We pray that each one of our believers, and as we see here, that we can see about another servant here in Matthew in verses 48 through 51. I won't read them, that you can read them yourselves, but we can notice what he says. He doesn't deny the Lord's return. He does not brush out of his mind altogether the thought that his Lord is coming back. He does dismiss from his mind an early prospect of his Lord's return. Are we doing that today? He says, my Lord delayeth his coming. Having that thought in his mind, he begins to deal unkindly with his master's servants. And then he enters into fellowship with the world. We need to keep ourselves with that momentary expectation of the Lord's return of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we should be more clearly able to be separated from the world, as we are be part of the world but yet separated. I believe that we're on dangerous grounds if we suggest to ourselves that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to tarry his return. For we do have that surety of his return. We can look at this servant. With his unwatchfulness comes unreadiness, which brings unfaithfulness, then unkindness, then ungodliness, because he has lost the present hope of his master's return. I pray that none of us lose that, the promise and the surety of our master's return. For the moral, the outcome is to long for the appearing of our loved one, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 this time. Here's something that we need to know something first. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Yes, where is the promise of his coming? all things continue as they were from the very beginning. I believe the key word here is promise. Promise that God has given to us of our Lord's return. Satan knows that he can never overthrow the fulfillment of God's word, the promise and purpose of God. But Satan does believe that he can overthrow yours and my confidence. And he does his best to do that. And if we look in the 13th verse, we see the apostle saying, nevertheless, we. It's not they. According to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth which dwelleth righteousness. The attack here on the promise is the same as it was in Eden. Hath God said, you shall surely not die. The word of prophecy of our Lord's return gives us three things. First, concerning his purpose. Second, of his plan for our lives. And third, because of the prospect which is set before us, which is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. As he said, I will return. And we have that surety in our lives. What a doctrine that we have, and that we as his people can pass on to others. The word of God, that blessed hope that is given to every one of his children, that concerning the plan of God for our service that he's asking for, the service, our duty, it is given to us, and he outlines it and has given us a program for it that we are to follow. To know that there's a crown for each one of God's children, to be able to lay it at the feet of Jesus. No sure way of receiving that crown of life is a work of soul winning, bringing others to Christ, making known in our community, in your community where you live, in the community of Elmira, the county of Chemung, the glory of the cross. The fact, sacrifice made once and for all for each one of us. As I said before, the resurrection guarantees the coming of our Lord, his return. He took upon himself earth's curse. And one day, we may be rewarded with a crown placed upon our heads by Christ himself for our service that we have given to him. Yes, our Heavenly Father, my eyes have seen the glory. Oh, Father God, we pray and thank thee that we may picture in our mind the coming of our Lord. But yet we truly have no inkling what it's going to be like, or what it's going to be like living in heaven for 1,000 years. But pray, Father, for that surety of our Lord's return, that we may give it to a dying world, that we may bring others unto thee. Glory be to him whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church and in Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen.